Hey everybody, it is so good to see all of you, and I want to say hello to everybody joining us from our campuses and watching online. Hey, I am so grateful for Pastor Jeff leading us through a series last couple weeks, but I missed all of you, and I am glad to be back with you kicking off a new series today. This is a series about enemies, and so as we begin today, I just want to know, how well do you know your enemies? Like, every hero has an arch enemy, right? And I just wonder how well you know your arch enemy. So we're going to play a little game as we get going today. I'm going to show you a hero, and then you're going to yell out the arch enemy. Ready? Here we go. First hero is Batman and the Joker. Good job. You guys are good at this. All right, let's do it again. Let's play another one. Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader. You've got this. How about this? Mario. Bowser, right. We had a movie night. Our kids' ministry had a movie night Friday night. Some of you watched this movie, so it's fresh. Now, for those of you who are a little older, maybe my age and beyond, here's one for you. Who is Seinfeld's archenemy? Newman. Yes, good job. Hello, Jerry. Yeah, I love this. Okay, how about this right here? The Lions. Who is the archenemy of the Lions? Yep. It's the Lions are the archenemy of the Lions. This is painful on this weekend, right? We should be playing for the Super Bowl, but we're not. It's a heartbreaker. But enemies, let me ask you a question. Do you have an enemy? And part of what I want to convince you of in this series is that you have an enemy. In fact, you have three enemies according to the scriptures, and I have an enemy as well. As followers of Jesus, we have enemies, and we're going to explore these in this series. So this series is called Enemies of the Soul, and this series is really a series about spiritual warfare. And so kind of just to frame the series, kind of get us going, I want to take you to the writings of the Apostle Paul, something that he said to first century Jesus followers living in the big Roman city of Ephesus. And this kind of just set the stage for the whole series. This comes from what we call the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world," and here we go, "against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul's going, look, we are in a war. We are up against spiritual forces. Understand, your enemies, they're not physical. Your enemy, it's not a person, it's not people, they're spiritual forces. And something that he makes clear in this letter of Ephesians is that there are three of them. And so let me just turn you back a couple pages, Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this to you, and I want to see if you can pick out the three enemies. I'll read the section, and then we'll talk about what they are. So here we go. He's talking now about what their lives were like, what their condition was before they became followers of Jesus. When you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. So there's three enemies there, and I wonder if you are able to pick them out. We'll just highlight them. The first is this, the ways of the world. You followed the ways of the world. One of these enemies of our soul is the world, and we'll talk about what specifically that means. Here's the second one, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's a very interesting, unique way of describing the devil. One of the enemies of our soul is the devil. And then the third one is we followed the cravings of our flesh. The flesh, that's me and that's you. This like internal part of us, that's the third enemy of the soul. And perhaps you've heard it worded like this, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You ever heard it worded that way? Well, in this series, this is how we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about the devil this weekend, next weekend the flesh, then the world, and then finally, we're going to spend some time talking about the armor of God and how it is that we, as followers of Jesus, actually engage in this spiritual fight. But today, we kick things off with a message about the devil. And if you're here for the first time, you're watching online for the very first time, you're like, wow. A whole sermon about the devil. This is kind of crazy. What a crazy church. Last weekend, it was a sermon on money. This weekend, it's about the devil. Listen, it's not going to get weird, okay? You'll notice there's no incense up here on my table. I'm not planning on handling snakes or anything. Just going to be normal. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to explore the scriptures and take a look at what the Bible actually teaches about this being the devil. Now, something else about this series I want you to know is that we are relaunching our podcast. It's called the Beyond the Weekend podcast. It'll hit every Wednesday during this series. Just want to basically have an opportunity to talk a little bit more because a conversation about the devil, you just can't cover everything that the Bible teaches in a 35, 40, or who knows, 2 hours long sermon. I mean, we just don't know. But I just wanted to have an opportunity to dig a little deeper. So if you're interested in that, would love for you to check it out. It'll hit on Wednesdays during this series. Now, before we jump in, let me just address this. Why would we do a series on spiritual warfare? Why are we going to tackle topics like the devil in the world? And the reason is, I truly believe, we are in a war. We are in a spiritual war as followers of Jesus. And I just think that we need to become more aware. We need to have a greater understanding of this. And we need to have tools to engage in this conflict. And most of all, I mean, really what I'm hoping from this is that, yes, we are in a war. Yes, there is a real devil. But I want us, my hope for us is that we would be more confident, that we would be at peace because the God we serve is victorious and he is strong. And something I want to be very clear is we don't need to be afraid. We do not need to be afraid because our God has won the victory. And so here we go. We're going to dive into a sermon on the devil. And I have 5 realities that I want to share with you from the scriptures about the devil. And the first one is just simply this. The devil is real. I believe that there is an actual being called the devil. And the reason I believe that is because the scriptures reveal that it's true. So the devil is real. Now, I took the liberty in preparing for this message of asking AI. Yes, I asked AI, how many times does the devil show up in the Bible? And you just might be thinking, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. Because maybe you don't like AI. In fact, maybe you think AI is the devil. And you're going, let me get this straight. You asked the devil how many times he showed up in the Bible. I did. I mean, I just figured he would know. So that's why. No, okay, I asked AI how many times does the devil, under all the different names and titles that appear in the scriptures, how many times? 130. And that's a lot. And, you know, from the very beginning of the Bible, first pages of the Bible, we see this being, the devil. He shows up in the garden as a serpent. And then all the way to the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you see again the devil in the form of a serpent, but it's a different kind of serpent. It's a dragon. And then all throughout the pages of the Bible, the devil shows up. He's called the evil one, the destroyer, the tempter. But you know what name is most often used to describe him? You have a guess? It's the name Satan. And it comes from the Old Testament. It comes from the Hebrew. And a great example of this comes from the book of Job. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job. It's fascinating. It could possibly be the oldest book in the Bible. But in the very first chapter, we get this really interesting conversation between God and Satan. So here we go. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." And so we get this name, Satan. And I think the name itself is important to understanding who this being is and what he's all about. So what does Satan mean in ancient Hebrew? Well, here you go. It means the adversary. It's a name that simply means the adversary. In fact, some biblical scholars would say Satan, it's not actually a name. It's just a title. It's the Satan. It's the adversary. And so what's important for us to understand here is this. God has an enemy. There is an adversary. There is one who exists, this spiritual being who his whole thing is to oppose God and to oppose what God is doing in the world. And so something that's important for us to recognize is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you have an enemy. And his name is Satan. And he is the one who opposes God. the adversary. Now, maybe you've heard of this guy, C.S. Lewis. Anybody heard of him? Okay, a 20th century writer, great Christian thinker. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. That's probably what he's most famous for. But he wrote some stuff about spiritual warfare, about Satan and his relationship to God that I think is really, really insightful. So look at this with me. C.S. Lewis said, "There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan." And I think that's it. That's it right there. Satan is the adversary. He is God's opponent. He is against God and God's good work in your life and in our world. Now, with all that said, it's just kind of like, well, then it's good that we live here and Satan is hanging out in hell. Right? Right? Did you catch where Satan said he was in that section from the book of Job? What did he say to God? God was like, "Hey, where have you been?" And Satan said to him, let's look at it again, roaming throughout the earth, going to and fro. See, here's the deal. Satan, he's not hanging out in hell. He's hanging out here. Satan lives here. And if that's true, not only do we have an enemy, but we live in enemy territory. In fact, one of Jesus' disciples, a guy by the name of John, in a letter that we call 1 John, he described this like this. Check this out. He said, "We know that we are children of God. Hey, we belong to God. We are God's children. But the whole world is under the control of the evil one." You see, somehow God, in his sovereignty, he decided to give Satan at least some level of dominion over the entire world. Now, what does he mean by the world? Is he talking about like the physical planet? What's he talking about? Ah, you got to come back week 3 when we talk about enemy of the soul known as the world, because what he means by this might actually surprise you. But all that to say is this. We have a very real enemy, and we are living in enemy territory. And if that is true, there's a question I think we should be asking. And the question is, what does he want? I mean, if he's against us, what is he after? What are his goals? And so let's turn to part 2 of this conversation. Let's talk about the devil's desire. What is it that he's after? Now, one of the most foundational passages of Scripture to understanding who the devil is, what he's all about, it comes from the Gospels. It comes from the biographies of Jesus' life. One of them was written by John. So we call it the Gospel of John. John was one of Jesus' disciples. He walked with him for 3 years and then wrote an account of all these experiences. So it's eyewitness. And in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, he records for us this encounter, this confrontation that Jesus had with the Jewish religious leaders of that day. And Jesus accuses them of something that's, I mean, it's really, really strong language. He essentially says, look, you're not aligned with God. You are aligned with Satan. It's a pretty powerful accusation, but here's how it goes. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. I mean, can you even imagine how that must have been received? You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. So here we go. What are the devil's desires? He was a murderer from the beginning. He's a killer. What does he want? He wants to kill. Now, one of Jesus' other disciples, a guy by the name of Peter, he expanded on this idea of the devil being a killer in a letter that he wrote to new believers that were under his leadership. And for some of you, this might be familiar. So this is, it's called 1 Peter is the letter. He says, be alert. Watch out, be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Peter says, you've got to watch out. You've got to be careful because you have an enemy, the devil, and he's prowling around looking for someone to devour. Now, this word devour, it means to destroy. And we talk about what does the devil want? He wants to destroy God's good work in your life. He wants to destroy God's good work in your family. He wants to destroy God's good work in the world. The devil wants to destroy. When the devil sees order, he wants to destroy it with chaos. When the devil sees faith, he wants to destroy it with doubt. When he sees unity, he wants to destroy it with division. When he sees joy, he wants to destroy it with despair. When he sees purpose, he wants to destroy it with apathy. When he sees generosity, he wants to destroy it with selfishness. When the devil sees peace, he wants to destroy it with anxiety. And when he sees love, he wants to destroy it with indifference. The devil wants to destroy God's good work. And here's what you need to know. You are the target. We are the target as the church. The devil wants to destroy. He wants to kill God's good work in your life and in the world. And so Peter says, you've got to watch out. You've got to be aware, be alert, and of sober mind. And the question is, what specifically are we looking out for? I mean, okay, we know that we have a very real enemy, that we're living in enemy territory, that he wants to destroy God's work, but what specifically should we be looking for? In other words, how does the devil do this destructive work? How is he going about it in our lives and in the world? This is a really important question. And it brings us to the next part of the message, which is this: the devil's strategy. What is his strategy? How does he bring destruction into our lives? Well, let's go back to this confrontation between Jesus and these religious leaders, where Jesus says, your father is the devil. Because there's something about this that's important. Did you notice Jesus doesn't use the most common name in the Bible to describe his enemy? He doesn't call him Satan. What does he call him? The devil, right? He uses this word, the devil. And the name or the description devil is important to understanding Satan's strategy. So again, Satan, it comes from the ancient Hebrew, and it means the adversary. It helps us understand this is God's enemy. Now, this word, the devil, it comes from the ancient Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in. And the word devil, what it means is simply this: slanderer. God's enemy is the great slanderer. And you might be going like, great, that's really helpful, really clear. What does slander mean again? Ah, okay. Slander. Slander means a false accusation. When you slander someone else, what you do is you say something harmful about that person, maybe about their character, and what you're saying, it's not true. It's based on lies and it's based on deception. That's what slander is. And the devil is a slanderer. In other words, his strategy is all about lies and deception. The way that he brings about destruction in our lives, the way that he opposes God's good work in the world is through lies and through deception. And actually, Jesus makes this very clear in this encounter with the religious leaders. Again, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Here we go. Not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus repeats himself. There's no truth in him. When he speaks lies. It's his native language. He's the father of lies. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. This is what Satan's strategy is. And think about it. Think about it. The very first time God's enemy appears in the Bible, it's in the garden. And he appears to Eve. And what does he say to her? Do you remember this? He says, did God really say? Did God really say that you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? Did God really say that if you eat the fruit that you're going to die? Did God really say that? It's lies. It's deception. This is the strategy. So here's as clearly as I can say it. If you're taking notes, write this down. Here we go. Satan's strategy is deceptive lies. And that word deceptive, I think, is important. They're not simple lies. They're not the kind of lies that your two-year-old gives you. Did you eat some chocolate? No. Face just covered in chocolate. No, I did not. I did not eat the chocolate. That's a simple lie, okay? The devil's lies, they're deceptive. They're complicated. They're tricky. They're the kind of lies that make you go, wait a second. Did God really say? It's deceptive lies. This is Satan's strategy. Now, Tim Keller said something about this that I just think is so powerful. Tim Keller, he was a pastor in New York, great thinker and writer. But here's what he had to say. Satan doesn't leave fang marks in your flesh. He leaves lies in your heart. I mean, just think about that for a second. It's not fang marks on your skin. It's lies in your heart. And it's not that, you know, some of the demonic oppression that we find in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, it's not like these things aren't true. They are. But most often, the way that Satan will attack you is with deceptive lies that are going to unleash destruction in your life. Now, you might be thinking, lies. I mean, okay, lies are bad, but I mean, come on. How destructive can lies actually be? I mean, it's not really that bad, is it? But think about this. The worst mistakes of your life, deepest regrets that you carry, the pain that you carry in your heart that you just cannot get rid of, all this awful stuff, I'm telling you, you can trace it all back to lies that took root in your heart. Lies are unbelievably destructive. Lies like, it's not hurting anybody. No one's going to know. I can control it. I am worthless. It's just sex. It's just one drink. I'm only valuable if. You know what? Everybody would be better off if I wasn't here. Or perhaps the most deceptive lie of them all. God could never forgive me. Lies. These are deceptive lies. And I just wonder, have you ever believed one of those? You ever been in a place where you were just ensnared by one of those lies? And I wonder, do you believe any of them right now? Listen, there is something that God wants for you. If you find yourself just ensnared by one of these lies, there is something that God wants for you. And you know what it is? Freedom. God wants you to be free from these lies. I mean, listen to the words of Jesus. And this comes from the same passage where he's confronting these religious leaders. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. And then you will know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. It's freedom. Jesus says, when you believe my truth, you will be free. You see, Satan's deceptive lies, they bring slavery. They bring pain. They bring death. And Jesus is saying, no, when you believe my truth, you will be set free. And that is absolutely true, and you can experience it. You can be free. You can resist the deceptive lies of the devil. The scriptures promise that it can be done. James tells us, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And Jesus shows us how to resist the devil. He gives us the perfect example. So let's turn to part four of our message. Fourth reality that you have to understand about the devil is you can resist him. Let's talk about resisting the devil. So the Gospel of Luke, another one of these biographies about Jesus' life, chapter 4. Luke tells us about this time that Jesus, he goes out into the wilderness. He's all alone, and he's fasting. He is preparing for his public ministry. So he's all alone, he's hungry, and that is when the devil shows up. Satan himself shows up to tempt Jesus. And so I want to show you three ways that the devil tempts him, and I want you to pay special attention to how Jesus responds, how he counters the devil's attacks. So the devil shows up, Jesus out in the wilderness, and he says to Jesus, "Those stones, just say the word and turn those stones into bread." Jesus is hungry. He hasn't eaten in days. Just turn these stones into bread. And here's how Jesus responds. He says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil takes him up to this high place and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, just bow down. Just worship me and I will give you all of this. And Jesus responds, he says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil takes him up to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. And he says to Jesus, "Just throw yourself down. Just jump." And then, get this, Satan quotes the Bible. He takes this verse from the Old Testament out of context and he quotes it. He says, "Look, God promised his angels will protect his holy one. So Jesus, just jump, just throw yourself down." And Jesus responds, he says, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan, he shows up and he tempts Jesus when he is most vulnerable, when he is all alone. In every temptation, how does Jesus counter him? What does he respond with? Truth, scripture, God's truth. He says these words, "It is written," or the third time, "It is said," which is another way to say, "It is written." You see, the antidote for the devil's lies, it is not willpower. It is not positive thinking. It is not self-discipline. It is truth. Specifically, it is God's truth. Here's the clearest way I could think to say it to you. Our battle with the devil is the fight. And make no mistake, it is a fight. It is the fight to believe truth over lies. This is how we participate in spiritual warfare against the devil. It is the fight to believe truth over lies. How do you know when something's a lie? How do you identify a lie? By knowing the truth. How do you resist these deceptive lies? By believing the truth. And understand, there is a big difference between knowing the truth and believing the truth, because believing, when you believe something, you change. When you believe something is true, you change the way you think, you change your attitude, you change your feelings, you change your actions, you change your life to align yourself with that truth. That's what it means to believe the truth. And so if you want to resist the devil's attacks, it's all about this fight to believe the truth. And it can be done. The Bible promises it. Jesus shows us how to do it. But here's my question for you. Will you? Will you resist the devil's attacks? Will you be able to resist? And you know what? I think it depends on your relationship with this book. God's word, God's truth. Will you be able to resist? It depends. Are you growing in your knowledge? Are you growing in your belief in these truths? It's not willpower. It's not positive thinking. It is truth. And so here's a challenge for all of us. Read it. I mean, make it a practice in your life to get into God's word. Sign up for our Beyond the Weekend devotional. have it sent right to your email inbox, and every day, 5 days a week, it takes you into the scriptures in a way that's connected with our weekend sermons. Get in a small group. Why? Because in a small group, that's where we discuss this truth, where we can ask questions and work it out in community. And then be here. I mean, commit to this space where every week we open up to scriptures. God, what do you want to say to us? Help us to believe your truth. If you want to resist the devil, I mean, scripture promises it can be done. Jesus shows us how, but you got to fight to believe the truth. Now, this message, I mean, a whole message on the devil, you might just be going, I mean, this is kind of scary. This is kind of heavy. We're talking about we have a real enemy. We're living in enemy territory. He wants to destroy. He is deceptive. He is lying. I mean, it's kind of scary, and you might be feeling it's a bit overwhelming. Okay, listen, as we turn the corner toward the end of this thing, you can walk out of here with confidence and with peace. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, you can walk away from a sermon about Satan with confidence and with peace. And why is that? Well, here we go, right here. Let's talk about this. The devil's defeat. Fifth reality we got to understand. The devil was and will be absolutely defeated. So in the gospel accounts, if you read them, you'll notice something. Jesus, he has confrontations with demons a lot. I mean, it just happens a lot. But here's the thing. Every time, every single time, Jesus dominates. Jesus is in absolute control. These are not fair fights. It's not like, oh, you know, Satan won a couple. No, Jesus is in total control. I count 14 encounters with demons in the Gospels. Jesus is 14-0, undefeated season. I mean, he dominates. Let me give you an example, okay? So from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, Jesus, he gets in a boat. He crosses the Sea of Galilee over into this region called the Gerasenes. This is not Israel. This is foreign territory. Soon as he gets out of the boat, it's this really scary situation. There's this dude. He is scary. First off, he lives in the tombs. This is where he lives, in the cemetery. And he just runs around, cutting himself, screaming. He's naked. I mean, just freaking out the people who live in the surrounding villagers. And what is wrong with this guy? Why is he so messed up? Let's check it out. Mark chapter 5, Jesus confronts him. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Now, I will confess to you, I've read this a million times. Still kind of freaks me out. Kind of gives me chills. Because it's not that this guy is possessed by a demon. He is possessed by a legion of demons. And what's a legion? Okay, it's a unit in the Roman military. Okay, great. What is that? 10, 12 guys? Oh, no. A Roman legion is 5,000 or 6,000 soldiers, okay? So I don't know if we're supposed to take this specifically literally, but either way, there are way too many demons in this guy. Can we just be clear about that? Way too many demons. But look, what happens is this guy, full of demons, he runs up and he falls on his knees before Jesus. He's terrified. He starts begging, "Don't torture us. Don't send us out of here." You see, Jesus is in absolute control, 1v5,000 demons. And this is what it's like every time. Jesus absolutely dominates, undefeated. So in his life and ministry, Jesus was victorious over the forces of Satan. Now, earlier in the service, we celebrated communion. This is when we pause and we remember the cross, how Jesus gave his life. The Apostle Paul, he teaches us that at the cross, Jesus disarmed, that's the word, disarmed Satan. In other words, if you have put your trust in Christ, he has no weapon that can hurt you. Satan has no power over you. And then lastly, you turn to the final pages of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and what is promised, what is assured, is the final and ultimate defeat of Satan. Take a look at this from Revelation chapter 20. "And the devil who deceived them," there it is again, the deceiver, "he was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown." Please don't ask me who they are right now. We do not have the time. and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But the point here is the devil is defeated, and he will be ultimately defeated. So just imagine with me a world where there is no deceiver, where there is no adversary, where there are no lies, there is no deception, a world without fake news, a world where we don't doubt, a world where God's good and gracious reign goes absolutely unopposed because the devil has been finally and ultimately defeated. This is the promise that we have been given through the scriptures and through the cross. And so we can walk out of here after spending a long time talking about the devil with confidence and with peace because he has been and will be defeated. And then one other piece of this, just a final scripture I want to show you from, again, the writings of Jesus' disciple John. Look at this. He says, "You, dear children, you are from God and you have overcome them," speaking of the dark spiritual forces, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And let's remember that when you put your faith in Jesus, he gives you his Holy Spirit. Listen, the Spirit of Jesus, the one who dominated Satan in his life and through the cross and will ultimately defeat him, that Spirit of God is in you. And he's so much stronger than the one who is in the world, Satan. And so we can live, even in the midst of a spiritual war, with confidence and with peace and with hope. And what's our job? It's the fight to believe truth over lies. And so that's what we need to do this week. We need to choose to believe God's truth. So next week, I hope you come back because we got a lot to talk about in the series. What does it mean to have an enemy called our flesh, ourselves? That's one of the enemies of the soul. And as we close, I just want to remind you, we have a prayer team here in all of our environments. I mean, we talked about some heavy stuff today. We talked about demons and we talked about lies. And I just know that some of you are just, you feel yourself in the grip of these lies, and you just maybe need somebody to speak truth over you. You need somebody to pray for you. And so let me encourage you, as everybody makes their way out, just come forward. We would love to have the opportunity to pray for you. And as we close, let me just pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I just ask that your freedom would be unleashed among us, that you would empower us to believe your truth over the lies of your enemy, Satan. God, help us to believe. Empower us to believe. God, we are so grateful that you have won the victory, and we choose hope. We choose confidence. We choose peace, and we pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Hey, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.